Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor Bill Smoots delivers the message entitled Transformative Leadership. We'll also have music from soloist Leah Crane. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
We believe in a God who walks headfirst into the world's suffering, who lights a candle in the darkest night, who pulls back the curtain so we can see the stars. We believe in a God who does not shy away from the truth, who is bold in seeking justice and humble in taking power. We believe in a God who sees our hurt and wraps love around it, cocooning us in hope, tethering us to one another. We believe in a God who is always carrying us from the pain of this world into the hope of a new day. That is where God is headed. That is where we follow. May it be so. Amen.
Yeah. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29. If you would like to follow along in a pew Bible, you'll find it on page 493. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Amen. Today's gospel lesson comes from the 19th chapter of Luke, Luke's telling of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, which we celebrate this day. Hear now God's word for God's people. After he, Jesus, had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there a colt tied that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Then Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling things there. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching in the temple. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him, but they did not find anything they could do, for the people were all spellbound by what they heard. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. All Lent long, we have been exploring the anxiety that Jesus created, that Jesus knew, that the disciples felt as they made their way to Jerusalem. And today we conclude that series of sermons as we consider the anxiety that was felt by some, by many in Jerusalem, and how Jesus was able to help some deal with it and some he could not help. I think the that same reality remains true for us today. Jesus can help us if we are open to it. If we are not, there's only so much he can do. Santa brought me a Lionel train set for Christmas when I was 5 years old, and I have been hooked on model trains ever since then. Though these days I just consider myself a frustrated model railroader, frustrated primarily because of my inability to understand electricity well enough to wire my trains so they can actually run. Now, I've read books on wiring train layouts. I've watched experienced modelers wire large layouts and small layouts and everything in between. I've watched more YouTube videos than I care to remember on how to wire trains. And yet, I still fear that I will wire my layout so poorly that I will cause the locomotives to explode and the house to catch on fire. An extreme fear, perhaps, but a fear that never stops making me anxious. Despite my electrical ignorance, there is, however, one piece of model train electronics that I do understand, at least a little. And that has to do with the role of the power pack or the transformer. I do grasp that the transformer takes the electricity coming out of the wall outlet, which is too powerful for the small electric motors that power model trains, that the transformer takes that larger amount of power and steps it down or transforms the electric current so that the locomotives can run around the track without exploding. I'm also aware that there are other transformers, though not for trains, that work to boost or step up electric current. Doing so when the power requirement for a piece of equipment is greater than the current coming out of the wall or even from an overhead wire, I can't imagine that kind of transformer would ever be needed for model trains. I mention all this because I want us to play a bit today with the idea of a transformer, the image of a transformer, the functioning of a transformer, and what it might mean for us. And specifically the idea that church leaders, both those leaders who are formally elected, as well as all the informal leaders, that church leaders, formal or informal, all serve as transformers in the life of a congregation, playing the important role of stepping up or stepping down the emotional energy of the congregation as needed. Our gospel lesson is Luke's telling of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and his cleaning activity in the temple. Jesus' presence in the city brings great joy and great energy to his followers, and yet Jesus is a wise enough leader to calibrate the joy and energy that he gives to his people. Jesus wants his followers to celebrate the important piece of God's unfolding plan represented by his entrance into Jerusalem. Jesus wants his people to celebrate God's movement towards them, all without them going crazy and doing things like overturning chariots and looting market stalls and setting fires, kind of like crowds of excited sports fans do today in our country when their team wins a championship. Hopefully something that Purdue fans will avoid doing in a couple of weeks when Purdue wins a championship. For those who are attuned to him, those who are emotionally connected to him, Jesus functions like a transformer, stepping up and stepping down the emotional energy and anxiety of his community so that their celebration of his arrival in Jerusalem is exciting and meaningful, all without being too much, all without crossing a line into lawless and unfaithful behavior. But for all those in Jerusalem who are not Jesus followers, those who are made anxious by the threat which they believe Jesus and his people pose to their power and to their economic security, to their well-controlled lives, to those for whom Jesus does not serve as a transformer, well, they're looking for ways to kill Jesus and remove the threat they perceive him to be, which is about as anxious a response to a person, to a situation, as you can get. I believe that Jesus finds his ability to be a transformer-like leader, a transformative leader, a less anxious leader. I believe that Jesus has this leadership quality because he pays attention to God's purposes and God's priorities. Jesus is dialed into God's expectation that the poor will have a place at the economic table of the day. Jesus is clear about God's expectation that the broken in body and spirit will know healing and compassion and physical care. Jesus is focused on God's expectation that strangers and aliens will not be ridiculed and abused for being different, but rather that they will be welcomed as guests and as fellow members of the community. Jesus understands deeply God's expectation that those who are lost, lost spiritually and emotionally, and intellectually and physically, that these lost ones will never, never be considered unredeemable, unforgivable, but will forever have access to and will forever know the grace that God showers upon all. Jesus is immersed in the reality that God expects all the members of God's beloved community to respect and care for and love each other, even when, especially when, such loving and caring and respecting is hard and painful, even when such loving and caring and respecting comes with personal cost. Jesus pays attention to and understands God's purposes and priorities in contrast to those who become highly anxious by his presence, those who are comfortable with their exclusive hold on power and wealth, believing that they are the ones who are the worthy judges of whom God loves and whom God does not. Those who are certain that their ways of thinking and that their actions are always in God's best interest are always what God desires. The ones who are so flustered by Jesus' presence, these folks are not the transformative leaders in our story or the transformative leaders of their day. They are merely anxious people who know a threat to their handle on things, their control over things when it comes along. And they want to deal with the threat that is Jesus by forcing their anxiety out from them onto everyone around them so that the crowd will do their work by demanding Jesus' death. It's a different gospel, but hear the crowd saying, "Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas." Over a lot of years of being a pastor in a variety of church settings, I have observed firsthand how leaders of a church, both informal leaders and formal leaders, have great impact, huge, long, lasting impact on how energy and anxiety affect a church. Calm, less anxious leaders are effective at helping members of the church community manage their own level of anxiety by paying attention to what they themselves are feeling and by keeping their own personal anxiety in check. Transformative leaders are always attuned to God's purposes and priorities and help focus all the rest of the church community in these directions. Transformative leaders know how to keep a church on a steady and stable course by minimizing destructive forces of anxiety, allowing the emotional system of the congregation to function in a healthy way. All of us here at Tabernacle Presbyterian, or our more preferred TAB, all of us need to be invested in supporting transformational leaders, leaders who function as the transformers of our congregation, leaders who step us up and step us down emotionally and energetically as the needs and the issue and the time requires. We need to invest ourselves in them, whether these leaders are formal, like the ones whom we elect at a congregational meeting, our session who guides us, or the ones who keep us organized and functioning in all the other far-flung corners of the church with order and process and purpose. Our informal leaders are the ones who keep a group or a committee chugging along because they are who they are and they are how they are with others. The ones who just quietly do those things that keep all the pieces that make up this place moving and functioning in faithful directions. We all need to be invested in transformative leaders, because Jesus continually invites us, Jesus continually expects us to follow God's purposes and priorities. And following Jesus creates both positive energy and excitement, just as it also at times creates some anxiety and stress. And we need leaders who help us live in this tension. Leaders who help us live without going crazy and breaking stuff, like cars and windows and each other and this church we love. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Hi, I'm Kay Diener. 34 years ago, my husband Bill and I joined Tab after hearing about its community involvement, service opportunities, and welcoming nature of the congregation. I have always liked volunteering and helping others, and at Tab, I found many ways to do both. Over the years, I've had the privilege of serving as a deacon, an elder, a tutor, Sunday school helper, member of the Media and Children's Ministries Committees, as well as other areas when able. In so doing, I have witnessed the caring hearts of others who selflessly share their love of Christ and TAB. I'm Kay Diener, and I invite you to come to TAB and see for yourself.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with TAB, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.